Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. So if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, especially from the beginning, you've heard from Travis Feaster and Max Jeffries, two of my co-hosts that we started this podcast together. They have since went on to do different things, but tonight, they're back. So we're going to do two episodes, one today, one next week, and without any further introduction, because I don't think it's needed at this point, Travis and Max tonight with me. Enjoy it. Let me know what you think, and let's jump into it right now. Okay, so Paul Kolzer asks, did working in the industry change your perception of gear, both as a consumer and a guitar player? Travis, what do you think?
I'm sorry. working in what industry?
We're going to get to the gear industry.
Well, yeah, of course it did. I didn't mean that like, yeah, of course it did. But no, as far as just gear in general?
Yeah, I mean, just the way you actually look at guitar, I guess.
Or pedals, at the time, when I was in the industry, big time, because I would always think about what's behind it, you know, and that's something you taught me, you know, like, just like, I mean, everybody does now. Anybody on the forums, I notice, like, this new pedal came out. Is it a tube screamer? Is it this? Is it that?
Right.
You know, they always think about the things behind it. And I was always picking your brain. Like, what makes it this?
Which makes it that? Took about 30 seconds. Only.
Yeah, right? You know, because you'd be like, the famous Brian Wampler. Well, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out a way to put it to where you can understand it. You didn't say it that condescending, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, I always tell people, I dumb things down for myself. Because it's easier for me to understand. So I'm like, okay, so this pedal is kind of like if you take Lucky Charms and combine it with pepperoni. It's okay, but it's not the greatest.
Right.
You know?
I would eat it.
You know what my kids call pepperoni? My two-year-old? Po-roni.
Po-roni?
Po-roni.
All right, sorry.
Too much to say all at once.
I know. But now it's like part of the cool factor of pedals coming back in and things and amps is I'm no longer intrigued by that mystique behind it. So now right. I can just appreciate it for what it is. Like, so now somebody puts out a new pedal. It almost kind of bugs me a little bit that somebody would be like, well, I wonder what the circuit is. Is it a two screamer? And it's like,
who cares?
Does it sound cool?
Right.
And if it looks awesome, even better. Like if it's black, I'll probably buy it.
So you kind of went the opposite way of what
yes.
I thought you would do.
Well, because I think it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I made a joke on the Tone group once. Somebody said, who's some good Telecaster chicken picking players to listen to? And it was like, oh my God, none. Don't ever listen to it again because that's all I heard for years. You know, when your flagship artist at the time I was working for you was Brad Paisley and Brent Mason. So everybody came up and had to play their worst version of Hotwired. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, yeah, every summer NAMM.
You know what I mean? Every summer NAMM. So it was like, oh my God. It's like swung 16ths in Baduka. Am I wrong?
Oh, every
but anyway,
now.
So see, now I'm ranting. But no, so now
ran away.
But you know, so now it's like with the pedals, I can kind of just appreciate them for what they are. But there is a part of me that's nerdy. Like,
I've got to play a couple of Brian's new prototypes.
But no, so of course, I know Max hasn't. But you know, with that, I get nerdy and like, so what's this do? What's that? What were you thinking here? And you know, and you still, for some reason, value my opinion. So we'll have a back and forth there. That's fun. I do miss that. And that's something you only get working in the industry, I think.
Yeah, that's true. There were definitely fun times, a couple.
Yeah, three.
Mostly
three
involving
fun times.
Alcohol. And go-karts.
Hey, go-karts.
Go-karts. Oh, man.
Drunk go-kart racing.
Was I not a good drunk driver?
That's the only time that's appropriate to say that.
No, Max almost got in a fight with a little kid.
He grabbed his go-kart.
With a 10-year-old, yeah.
His go-kart.
So there it was. Swear to God here. So I'm driving, and those of you who can't see me or don't know what I look like, I'm a little portly, right? Well, the portly you are.
Can I interject? Yeah. So Max, how tall are you?
I'm about 6'3".
I'm 5'9".
Yeah,
we have the same size inseam.
So yeah, so you ever guys ever played like Mario Kart? I'm like the great big dinosaur dude on the tiny little kart. And the bigger you are, the slower these carts move. So this kid kept cutting me off and laughing at it, and it ticked me off. So eventually I caught up to him and just grabbed the back of his cart and like hung on, and like pulled him back, and his face was like, I was like,
Mom, yeah. Seth Rogen is trying to kill me.
And then we had to leave.
Well, the funny thing is what would you do if you were like that kid's dad and you saw a guy? Because no offense, your words here. Yeah. What do you always say about your torso?
Yeah.
I have a
extremely long torso.
You used to say freakishly
long torso.
Yeah, freakishly long torso. So when he sits down, you'd think he's 8 foot tall.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're the dad of that kid, you're like, well, I'm going to.
Let this one slide.
Yeah. But that was fun.
I think my gear perspective's kind of changed a little since I've been in the industry. For me, I'm way more into gear now than I was when I worked in the industry. It's like anything else. Like, if you're a car mechanic and you work on cars all day, you're not going to go home and, like, work on your own car.
Like, if you're a gynecologist and you do that all day, and then you
that's not a good comparison. Anyways, for the adults on this side of the room,
funny.
But you know, it's like, so for now, like right now, I'm so into gear, and I used to be so caught up in labels and who made it, and total hipster on boards. I'll admit it. Now I'm getting back to like stuff like I remember back in like the '90s and in the early 2000s, stuff that like I used to read about in Guitar Player magazine and stuff. So like Travis and I actually played in a 90s rock band. And one of the pedals I really wanted, because I don't know why you guys are going to make fun of me for it, is a Dan Electro Cool Cat chorus pedal.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
I scored for like $20 in reverb. It's one of my favorite things to play with because it annoys Travis so much.
And those are 18 volts, right? These
Yeah, 18 volts. Yeah. And every time I click on it, he's like, dude, are you out of tune? It's my favorite pedal. Every night I'll just step on it just so he gives me a dirty look. It's great.
It sounds terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that's what makes it so cool.
There's nothing cool. First off, it's a chorus.
Here you go.
Not cool. Although the Nirvana chorus, I got a funny story about that.
Uh-huh.
But chorus, not cool at all, ever. I'm sorry.
For 90s rock, it works, though.
Not really.
Really?
How would you know?
Why wouldn't it?
Exactly.
You can tell I hang out with him too much.
But no, he does like. So no, he'll hit it and instantly his shit just sounds out of tune. And it's like, oh, and you know me with tuning. I'm kind of like you. So if you hear something wobbling, but I will say one thing. This dude, you know how you always count things? I got you back. Me and Austin counted through the first set. You know how many times you stopped mid-song to tune?
Austin's your drummer.
Oh.
9 times.
Probably, yeah.
During the middle of the song, he'll just stop playing and tune.
There's two guitar players. You can stop, I mean, whenever really you want to.
Not when we're doing
Wait, hold on. Are you playing a Les Paul?
I am playing a Les Paul.
There you go.
Does my Les Paul stay in tune?
Not always.
Yes, it does.
With the Bigsby on it?
No, my R8. My 58 reissue.
When's the last time you played that?
Huh? Just 5 minutes ago through the Synergy stuff.
And did you have to tune it?
Well, yeah. Once. Once. But no, we're playing.
Minute.
But you got to admit, that guitar stays in tune fantastic.
That guitar does stay in tune better than your Black Les Paul, the Bigsby.
Yeah, absolutely. But so we're playing this song, and it's 3 a.m. by Matchbox 20. Like, we're not proud of it, but if you make the chicks dance.
Yeah.
You know, the guys come out to watch the chicks, and it's big crowd, whatever.
Right.
Travis likes the guys.
So it's the part where it's like the breakdown. It's just one guitar and then the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Max is the one guitar, okay? Well, in his head, he's thinking, I'm out of tune. And he was out of tune.
Oh, I remember this
and
night.
And it happens. Yeah. It happens. Dude, you go out of tune. It happens. Right. But, you know, we can kind of adjust a little on the fly.
Right.
Well, Max just decides, I'm going to hit the tuner. So Jake sings, next thing you know, he just hits the tuner and he looks at us and goes, a cappella.
Okay, so there's more to the story than he's letting on. So what really happened was...
Wait, at least give me a look and be like, I'm out of tune. You take this part.
So this only happens to me like once a year at a gig. It's very unprofessional, but every now and then, like, you know what? It was hot. I was drinking several cold adult beverages. I might have been a little, as you say, drunk. And so in my head, I was like, yeah, I'm out of tune. Nobody's going to care. But then, like, everybody cared. But at the same time, you're like, well, I'm committed now. Just sing a cappella, dude. It's all right. You'll have it. Three people will care about it, you know?
So, of course, I jump in.
Then I looked at him like, what are you doing? I had that, you know? But yeah, I was inebriated. Surprise. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I never get drunk at shows, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's never really happened to me. But then I don't play in a bar band.
Except every NAM we've ever went to.
Except every
NAM. Or Gear Fest.
Or Gear Fest.
Or Office Hours.
Or Tuesday. Or Monday night.
Or Tuesdays. So what's on your personal right now? What's on your personal boards and like what's your basic rig? And I'm sure it changes according to what you're doing. But
this is so Max always makes fun of me about how my rig changes all the time, and my rig hasn't changed in probably over a year.
Yeah, almost a year.
You know, so you now have all black pedals. You said
I do have all black pedals.
You've had all black pedals for
years. And if you make more black pedals, I will replace all those pedals with black pedals.
Why don't you just paint them? Like just spray paint them.
Well, I did use a magic marker on my direct drive.
But you went over the direct drive labeling.
Yes.
Why?
To make it all black.
So you want no labeling at all?
No. If I had my way, it would just be all black pedals. I have one pedal on my board that's not black. One, and it's that Vertex Boost.
I thought that was black.
No, that's gray.
You sound good.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I need to spray paint it.
Why black?
Or you need to make me a boost. Wait a minute, your decibel's black.
I have a black boost.
Bam! Guess what's happening tonight? But
black boost.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I think what it is, it's the anti-hipster in me. You know, I see
You don't want people coming up saying, "What's on your board?"
No. It's deeper than that.
You're kind of the hipster to
No, it's anti-hipster. It's deeper.
Which
than
is kind
that.
Of hipster.
Absolutely. But what it is it's all these pedal board of the day, hashtag freaking trash bag, not pedal board, all this stuff, all these contests and who's got the best. It's like, you know what? Half these boards that win have never seen a stage. Or if they have, it's your church. And so it's like, you know what? I might not have the prettiest board of all black pedals, but I guarantee it's going to see some work.
So have you taken any pictures of your shoes next to your board?
No,
you got to do
all black
that.
Shoes as well.
All black shoes.
All black shoes next to your board. You got to do that.
Man, yeah, these are my
that's next level Instagram game.
These are my $39 boots from Crows.
From Crows.
Got them from Crows.
I don't even know what that is.
It's what my grandma calls Kohl's.
You call them Crows.
Went down to Crows. Where? You know, down by Memory Ford. Grandma, do you mean Kohl's? Yeah, Crows. True story.
Max, what about you?
Running two different boards. I got one for the 90s gig.
Notice I didn't tell anybody what was on my board. It's a secret.
Yeah, right?
Oh, you didn't say anything about that.
It's black pedals because he doesn't want people to know she's hipster about pedals.
So you totally avoided that question. But I didn't catch it.
I can tell everybody what Travis used on this board.
Bet you can't.
We know there's a direct drive on there.
There's a direct drive. There's a Panther Cub. There is
a black Panther Cub. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, it's a custom Panther that's painted black. You have a Deja Vibe prototype.
It's not a prototype. It's okay. He's gonna take forever.
That's why I'm a good salesman. That's
convincing. Oh, no,
he's convincing to do it.
I go in. Okay, so my chain. I go into a Line 6 G30, which is the wireless thing.
Oh, right? That's underneath. Yeah.
Yeah, it's mounted underneath my board.
And what is it again?
The wireless, the Line 6.
G30. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Then that goes straight into a Korg pitch black tuner because it's black. And then it goes into like the real old full tone Deja Vibe. This one is like this
big. Yeah, the great big one.
Yeah, and it's black.
And that's powered to the wall, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It goes into my.
It's not like a 9 volt adapter.
Yes, yeah. It's AC.
Right.
So, and then I go out of that into my direct drive, out of that into the Vertex Boost, out of that into a Love Pedal Kanji, out of that into a homemade
Kanji is not
green,
black.
Green ringer. You're right. It's not black. It will be. But a green ringer clone that I built. And then into a band of gypsies, fuzz face. Into a panther cub. Into the old boss reverb. Which I guess that's like dark brown, isn't it? What color is the boss reverb?
It's kind of a charcoal.
Oh, charcoal. Yeah. That's black, right?
Kind of it's black and silver mixed together, I think, technically.
And that's my board. And then I go into a Fryette power station.
Right.
Into a 1969 Marshall Tremolo 20.
I was going to say, you go into the amp, then the power station.
Yeah, then a 1969 Tremolo 20. Then out of that into a Fryette power station. Into a 212 Marshall cab with G1238 or G12H30, however they say it. It's the 75 anniversary speakers.
The Celestians?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took forever.
Imagine how long you would have taken.
Yeah, right?
Hey, Max, can you hand me another one of those beers?
Anyways.
Did you already drink that beer?
Oh, yeah.
Travis drinks his beer like he drinks his coffee in like 3 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so cold, it's so hot.
All right, so...
What's on your board, Max?
Let's hear about your board. That'll buy me at least 10 minutes to go get you another beer.
Yeah, sounds good. So my 90s board, I'm running just a good old-fashioned Dunlop Wah into a TC Electronic Tuner. From there, I'm going into the chorus pedal. He actually really did leave to go get more beer, I think. I don't know what to do. Do I just keep talking?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, what do? It just goes. into the Day Electric chorus pedal, into a old school small stone
yeah.
phaser.
Vintage.
Yeah. And then from there into a JCM 2000 with a 1936 A cab.
Now. That's only for this band.
Only for the 90s thing. Yeah, and I'm using a 1997 Les Paul Standard. I know, since you guys listen, I went from Strats and Fender amps, which I still do for the blues thing, but for the rock thing, I'm doing Marshall and Gibson. Totally weird.
Yeah, I mean, for that band.
It just fits. You know, just not all I'm doing is chugging rhythm all night with that band, so it's great.
You play some solos in there.
I like another beer.
You will be whale. You play a lot of
soul. I still play my Les Paul for blues singer now and then. I still play Strats. Amps changed from a Super Reverb. I got an old Super O. Blues Junior.
You have a Super
Trainer.
Or an old one or the reissue?
I have a custom crab, which is the same circuit as a Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt,
excuse me. Mm-hmm. Thunderbolt is a James Bond film.
And also, I think the Thunderbolt is Richard Goodsell's.
Yes. Yeah. His version.
Right?
Yep. Blues Junior, an old Trainer. It's got like 4 tens. Travis actually got that for me. It's really cool.
What, the Blues Junior?
No.
I noticed you got another one.
I got another one tore up right here.
And my pedals always change, so I really can't nail down any particular thing. Tube Screamers for sure, sleeves and nose. But I'm doing the Marcus King thing, which is kind of cool with my Super Reverb.
Dude, run that back. Doing the Max Jeffrey thing. He invented this. Go ahead.
I did not invent. I wish I did, though.
You invented this. Shut up. Go.
So I plug my guitar into a Tube Screamer, turn the volume all the way down on the Tube Screamer, turn the drive slightly up, and just crank the amp open almost wide open. Then I just barely adjust the volume on the Tube Screamer so it keeps it like at bedroom levels if I want, or live levels, but it overdrives the amp. It almost acts as a poor guy's attenuator.
Really?
So, yeah.
So you gains up.
Gain's not, it's gain's probably at, three.
So you're clipping quite a bit then.
Quite a bit, yeah. And volume's all the way down and the amps is cranked up 8, 9.
Did that just make a really
two or three? Do you mean 2 or 3 o'clock or 2 or 3? Like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, probably 1, 2, 3. Yeah, if you had to do a clock, it's probably, drives probably at, what was that? 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So, I thought you were thinking 3 o'clock.
I was thinking 3 o'clock.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I was like, damn.
Yeah,
dude.
Drive is like 9 o'clock. If you think about it, yeah.
Sup, time back, Daryl.
So you just use it as an EQ pedal then?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Yeah.
With no
master volume. Huh.
Yeah, like a master volume type of thing. But it sounds great. If you just have one pedal, you get the blues.
You get more mileage if you cut the diodes out. Just clip them off.
That's what I was going to say.
You know?
You know what he wanted to do? And I think it'd be fun. I'd do it for him. He wanted to get one of those old like chassis from the
like a Valve Junior.
And he wanted to
put a
Tube Screamer, 3 knobs and a switch.
Wait, so the Valve Junior head,
the actual head, just gut it and use a chassis and put a Tube Screamer in it. so he could put it on top of his amp and use it as an attenuator.
So just a big tube screamer.
Yeah, big tube screamer.
The world's biggest tube screamer. I said, you buy it, dude, and I will do it.
That sounds like an April Fool's video, actually.
Actually, when we came in, I saw all the old fog liquid on top of the shelf out there. I was like, I know what that's for.
You know what's funny is that we made fun of the 80s hair distortion thing with that 5 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. And now apparently the 80s are cool again to those who didn't live through it.
Yeah, I was about to say the people have never. Well, I mean,
look, like I saw Earthquaker's video of the 1-800.
I like that thing they're doing now. What do they call it? It's not the rig rundown, but it's kind of like that. What do they call it? Oh, man. But I like watching them. They always get, you know what I'm talking about?
Huh.
Dang it.
I like their rig yourself.
You mean like when they go work with different artists? And
yeah, and they like, because they just did the, I don't want to quote it wrong. Let me look it up real quick.
Well, that's fine. What I was saying is that, I saw that video. I'm like, that's a good video, but that wasn't the 80s. You know, the 80s was like CC DeVille and George Lynch and bad bands.
Do you remember my CC DeVille story?
I do.
It's in the stars. It's in the stars. It's written in the stars, man. I don't know if I've ever told this story, but it's totally Wampler related.
Now you can. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you did take the picture. So Max and I are hanging out at this club downtown Indianapolis. It's a blues club called the Slippery Noodle. And what was he in? Was he in Poison?
He's in Poison.
Okay, yeah. Poison. So
he was talking dirty to people.
I get it. But so anyways, I guess the band had just, Poison had just played, and I guess all the guys were there.
Wait, so, oh, they played downtown?
They played downtown. No, not at the Noodle. Okay. No.
See, because that's not a blues band.
Right. And well, they would have them, but.
Right, well, yeah.
So anyways, so I see CC DeVille, right? And, you know, I never played guitar. I didn't play guitar until the late 90s. But obviously, I knew who he was. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Right.
You know? So I see him, and I go up to him. I was like, hey, you know.
Hold on. You went, I won't forget you, right? I won't forget you,
that's
baby.
That's terrible. But I went up to him, and I was like, CeCe, how's it going? And he looked at me. And, you know, the thing was, is he was totally cool. I think he assumed I knew him, you know? I mean, not in a bad way, but he was like, how's it going? And he shook my hand. And I was like, hey, I know you're just trying to hang out, but, you know, I work for a guitar pedal company. I just want to see, you know, what you are currently using, if there's anything we could do for you. What pedal what company you work for? It's like a company out of Martinsville called Wampler Pedals. He grabs me like this and goes, Wampler Pedals? Wampler? It's written in the stars. It's written in the stars. And I was like, oh my God, like I triggered this dude somehow. I'm like, oh my God. And he's going nuts. He's fumbling for his phone. He's like, let me see. You got to stay right here, man. You got to stay. And he starts.
No, he had a flip phone.
Right. He had a flip phone. He flips open his flip phone. He's going through his notes. And then he shows me a note, and all it said was Wampler. And it said, Wampler, I heard these pedals. I heard him, and I wrote it in there, and then 2 days later, you come up. It's written in the stars, man. And he starts pointing up to the sky.
He was really high.
He wasn't.
I think he's just, like, really hyper.
He wasn't,
like,
because
that.
I asked the bar staff. I was like, what's he been drinking? They're like, Diet Cokes. I was like, that's awesome. He's just
naturally manic.
Yeah, and it was awesome. But so the coolest thing is CC DeVille handed me his phone and said, put your phone number in here. So CC DeVille has my number.
You should have called your phone from
it. I know.
You know? But, and then every day he could text it. Like some sort of song title, you know?
Oh,
like,
no.
It's like T9 when, texting.
Are you
T9
mama?
T9 texting.
Hi, CC. This is Mama's Fallen Angel.
You know? But my favorite was, I posted on my Facebook status that night, that moment when you enter, or when CC DeVille has your phone number or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
One of my buddies goes, and that dreaded moment when he actually calls you. But he knew. So, because that was, I mean, you got to admit, that had to be a little cool to hear, because I called you immediately.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And you were like, he knows me.
Right.
I was like, yeah, he had your name in his phone. Me. You know,
well, keep in mind, like, I grew up in that era, like, right. That's, I mean, like, there's my Crate G40 that I was playing Poison songs on, You know, I was playing talk dirty to me as a kid.
Well, and the thing is, too, and I'm not saying, please don't take it this way, I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, but I was on board during the time when your company really blew up.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Obviously, you put in all that time before.
It wasn't just me. It was a combination of all of us, really.
Well, right. You know what I mean? That year, I would say, what was it, 2013?
12, 13, 14, yeah.
2013 mm-hmm. was whenever, I mean, not that getting into Guitar Center is everything, but the Guitar Centers of the world were kind of like, we need to make some money off this guy before, you know what I mean?
Right.
You were that hot commodity. And I remember coming up in that and, you know, dude, when I first started working for you, we were renting a house on Morgan
That's
Street.
That's right. Yeah, we were working out of an old beat up house.
An old beat up house was like $400 a month rent.
Every morning we walk in and be like dead mice in the mice traps and stuff.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
Travis, you're the new guy.
Yep. So, I mean, it's so cool. And then to go through all the state. But anyways, so at that time, because that was in the winter, I remember it was cold. So mm-hmm. it would have been the winter, early 2013, before you'd really kind of blown up a little bit. That happened, and at that point, because now, I mean, dude, look at all the people playing your stuff. If somebody like that has heard of your stuff, it's probably not as big of a shock to you. You're probably still honored, but it's probably
yes, I got desensitized to it. So, I mean, it's an honor, but it's not as much of a shock anymore.
Right, but you back then, I mean? It was a shock.
Back then, yeah, I couldn't fathom it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just couldn't fathom in any type of, like, being recognized or
right.
the brand being recognized, like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to me, like, we're just selling a handful of pedals here and there to, you know, a guy on eBay,
yeah.
you know? And, yeah, so it's, and now, I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate it. It's not that at all. It's just that I think my view of it is completely changed where I'm more, like, it's cool that, like, you know, the Neil Sean's of the world and stuff use our stuff. But it's even cooler when that 16-year-old kid works for 3 months
right.
and buys a pedal.
Right.
You know what I mean? That is what, like, tugs at my heart, honestly.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, that's, you know, if you got a bunch of money in a bank, like, what's his name? The John Mayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So John Mayer's good. He just buys pedals all the time. Mm-hmm. Gear. Not
right,
just because
he can.
Right. Yeah. He's in a hotel. He's bored. And so he goes on Sweetwater or whatever and buys pedals or amps or guitars or everything. So, I mean, like, and that's cool. Like, yeah, he's bought some of our stuff, but it's just not the same thing as the kid that just scraped by
because right.
he wanted this one thing so bad. You
yeah.
know?
No, that's
and,
cool.
And he washed dishes and some nasty Steak and Shake somewhere, you know?
I was waiting.
Oh, by the way, don't eat at Steak and Shake. My kids, all my kids have worked there at some point in
my
the past
brother
year.
Has too, yeah.
And yeah, I'm just saying our particular Steak and Shake here in Martinsville, Indiana is a complete wreck. Yeah.
Duly noted.
It's so I quit it. When they started working there, I stopped eating there. Put it that way. Which sucks because I'm about some chili five way, you know, and some Frisco melts. I'm actually hungry now for a Frisco melt, now that I think of it. But I also know that my son was making those Frisco melts, and it's like, you let him cook? What are you thinking?
I'm proud of him,
He's
man.
Like, what are you talking about, Dad? Stick my hands in the spaghetti, grab a handful, put it on the plate, put some sauce on it. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. We all do it. What's the big deal?
Is he wearing gloves?
Why would he wear gloves? That takes so long to do.
That's right.
And Brent no longer had a job there.
And, but yeah, he's not employed there, by the way. He got fired. I don't know why. He takes after his dad. He can't keep a job. Travis, I'm still like, I got a bottle. What do you call the thing on the top of the bottle?
Nipple?
The nipple. I have like a nipple on my beer. Travis is, you've already been through two.
I mean, that sounds like a Brian problem, not so much a Travis problem.
We went pro since we worked for you.
You
went
what?
We went pro.
We went professional drinkers.
Since we worked for you.
Yeah. I put it this way. You may have an alcohol problem if your wife asks you what for Christmas and you're like, a beer glass. So it says, I'm not going to cuss.
But you can cuss. I sleep it out.
Okay. It's got one of those e-cards of a guy throwing paper up in the air. And it says, looks like it's f- this shit
get a clock.
That is so you.
Yeah, that's right? Awesome.
So it looks like it's
F this S a clock.
Right.
Oh yeah. So good. And then she bought me a Buffalo Bills one because I'm a glutton for punishment and I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
So when they lose, you have something for your
beer. See, I thought it was bad whenever I was like, oh, just a pallet full of Budweiser. No, she wouldn't do it. All right. So with that said, how about we cut this podcast since it's now at 30 minutes? Let's cut this short. Not short, but let's cut it here. And since I have more beer. And Travis is.
I don't have more beer.
I have more beer outside in the snow waiting.
Well, I got it. I got to drink a few more. It's a long drive.
Remember, driving don't mix.
It's at least 10 minutes in the snow.
Yeah, right.
So let's. So stay tuned for next week, whenever Travis and Max are back again for the next episode. And thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you next week again with Travis and Max. Thanks.